This.
What are you doing that stupid trickery crap for?
Is Felger and Mass.
The continued ish.
On 98.5.
I just want to see what the fuss is about.
The Sports Hub.
I'll probably hate it.
They lead at second and third. Up the middle, but there's Brock Cole with a stab, and the Red Sox win it. 6-4 in the final score, and they sweep the Toronto Blue Jays. Some added drama in the end, but the Red Sox with all sorts of momentum heading on to Houston with a record of 39-17.
Best record in baseball. The added drama was Sox are up 6-2. Is it Brian Johnson who allows first and third, nobody out?
Correct. Yep.
They bring in Craig Kimbrell, first and third, nobody out. He gives up two runs, and now there's runners on second and third, nobody out, 6-4. Second and third, nobody out, up 6-4. And he gets out 1-2-3 without giving up another run. Two ground outs and a strikeout.
It was. Grounder to third, strikeout, grounder to second. That ended the game.
Pretty snappy appearance there by Craig Kimbrell, Mass.
Yeah, good. Not great. I mean, he made the inning worse before he made it better. So, like, it felt to me like he was cracking there a little bit. And the fact that they had to go to him at all was not a good sign because they had a big lead. They tried to squeeze Brian Johnson in there. Kimbrell, I think, has pitched now 5 out of 6 days. I think he pitched in every game in this series. And Kelly had pitched in 4 out of 5 going into today, so he was unavailable, I'm guessing. Like, you know, they tried to shoehorn it in there, but nonetheless, they squeaked the game out. And you know why they squeaked it out? Because the Blue Jays suck. The Red Sox wanted to give this game away. They were trying to give this game away in the late innings, and Toronto wasn't good enough to take it.
Mass, I sense you're frustrated with your sport.
Which brings me to a bigger point. I am frustrated with the sport. I told you, first of all, I went to the game on Monday. Okay? This is sort of a separate, you know, this is an aside, but just work with me here for a minute. It was excruciating. I mean, it was excruciating. The early part of that game took forever. I like baseball. I've watched it my whole life. I covered it for 15 years.
Former backup JV second baseman for Tufts.
And I was sitting there on Monday saying, this is painful. Boy, that was tough to watch. It was hard. It was hard to sit there and stay focused and pay attention on that game. It was difficult. And the game just moves way too slowly. There's just not enough action. And I don't know why, you know, why it's hitting me now. Maybe it's because I've been focused on the NBA playoffs or whatever. I don't know. But looking at the game, it's way too slow. And then beyond it, I never once felt the Red Sox were going to lose the game. Which brings me to my bigger point. The game right now has a major competition problem. Major. So in these three games, 8-3, 8-3, 6-4, did you ever really feel like Toronto was a threat?
No. Never, not once.
And Toronto's halfway decent. They're not one of the totally, you know, ass teams in baseball that suck so bad that they're going to be in contention for the first pick. So I'm trying to get Toronto's 6 games under .500, but they're not the Orioles who are 17-38 and had lost 15 in a row or whatever the hell it was on the road when they came in here. The competition in the American League sucks. It's awful. Baseball is a major competition problem right now. There's no gray area as it pertains to the outcome of the game. I know the Red Sox are going to win every night. There's no fun in that for me. Like, I'm sorry. There's a good series coming up with the Astros that starts tomorrow. And I've said this to you before. How many of those do you really have now during the year? You get the Yankees 6 times. I've already played a couple of those. The Astros, great. The Braves, that did nothing for me. Sorry. Toronto, they blow. Tampa, they blow. The Orioles, they suck. Like, what? How many good teams are there really that you can look at and say, that team's going to test you?
The story you sent me earlier, are there 5 teams that are on pace for 100 losses?
Correct.
At the most ever or something like that?
First time since 2002. That many teams are on pace to lose 100 games. It is. It's brutal. Baltimore, the White Sox, Cincinnati, Kansas City, and Miami, all on track to lose 100 or more.
And I'd say 4 of them are doing it intentionally.
I'd go even beyond that in terms of some teams that are on pace to lose 95 are also losing intentionally. So this whole tanking thing in baseball is a major problem now, if you ask me. It's ruining. The regular season's hard to watch as it is because it's so damn long and it's a marathon. I get it. But now there is literally no reason to watch. There's none. For what? To see the Red Sox beat the Blue Jays 6-4 instead of 8-3? Like, that's drama today. That qualifies as drama. A 6-2 lead going into the ninth. It's the same crap every day. They beat everybody. And it's one thing to say they beat everybody because they're good. Dude, this Red Sox team
is... Okay, you don't think they're good?
It's one thing if they are an all-time team.
You don't think they could be one of the better Red Sox teams?
Not an all-time team. No. This Red Sox team was on pace today, going into today's game for 112 wins. Is that a 112-win team? Like, I think of teams that win those kinds of games, and I go back to, I guess it was the 0-2 Mariners that won 116. The Yankees, one of those years, won 114. I guess it was the 99 Yankees or 98 Yankees. And I look at those teams and say they were wagons. They were just absolutely loaded top to bottom, and they were machines. They beat everybody. This Red Sox team, I don't put in that class. They're good. They have a good team. After Sale, the starting rotation feels shaky. Mediocre. How about that? Even Price feels relatively mediocre. The lineup, good, but not like the teams of 15 years ago. Those teams had better lineups. The Yankees in the 90s had better lineups. And again, I'm comparing to all-time teams now.
So you're saying
they're on an all-time pace.
Their record is a function of the league.
Absolutely. This team here, this Red Sox team, is a 94-95 win team. Maybe a little more, 96. You know, somewhere in that area, if everything goes right for them, they're a good team. 112 wins? That's a product of a competition problem. There's a competition problem in baseball. Too many teams are tanking. Too many teams suck. And they really suck. They're bad. Toronto chucked another ball in the center field today. It's just, and watch the line. Who are the guys in the lineup? Luke Maley. Who the F is Luke Maley? Real, who is Luke, and who's the Hernandez guy? I don't know who that guy is. This is the Toronto Blue Jays. Like, they're a big market. Toronto should have real players. They got bums. They got nobodies all up and down the lineup all over the field. Like, it really, I think it's embarrassing.
Are you having trouble with content in the baseball reporters? Too many wins?
No, I always have an ability to find content. That's usually not an issue for me.
Trivia Tuesdays hasn't helped?
But I Trivia Tuesdays has helped immensely, I would say, actually. But the...
You're really aggravated by the fact the Red Sox are winning so much.
No, I'm aggravated by the quality of the game. The game is brutal. The game's brutal to watch right now. And again, it struck me on Monday. The quality of competition sucks. There's no drama with regard to what the outcome's going to be. There aren't enough good teams and not enough good games out there. I feel like it's becoming the NBA.
There's not enough good games. That is for sure.
When you look up, it feels like every other day they're playing Tampa or Baltimore. And you know that those are basically automatic wins. Teams are so bad.
Mookie Betts hasn't played in 3-4 days. Does it matter?
No.
Again, I feel with Mookie Betts now like they can do what the Celtics do with Kyrie or the Spurs used to do with Duncan. Sit him down. We don't really need him right now. They said last night if this were October or September, he'd be playing, but we don't need him. You know why? Because the Blue Jays suck, and we can sit him and beat them anyway. That's really what it comes down to. I think it's embarrassing. I do. And I half wonder. It is so bad right now, the quality of play in baseball. It is so bad that I half wonder whether owners are doing it on purpose to get a salary floor because that will then result in a salary cap. Like, you can't have one without the other, right? Which is, and the union will never agree to a salary floor because they know that it means a cap. But baseball needs a floor. There aren't enough teams spending a legitimate amount of money to try to put a representative team on the field. These teams, these are hack, AAA, 4A, independent league teams. These teams suck. Really, it's embarrassing. And they want to know why attendance is down all over the game, 6%. And you know what? That's bullcrap because it's more. It's more than 6%. The quality of play sucks. There were more strikeouts than hits in the month of April in the major leagues for the first time ever. Ever. More strikeouts than hits. The quality of play smells. It smells like bad garbage. It's the quality of play and competition in baseball right now sucks lemons.
Okay, so that's our lead baseball thought. We'll get to some more things on the game if you want. I want to get to Alex Cora going on yesterday. Like, the Red Sox have ignored the noise. Maz, In response to the David Price stuff. I want to get to that. But your reaction right after these words.
Toronto, they blow. Tampa, they blow. The Orioles, they suck.
Felger and Mez. The Sports Hub. Felger and Mez.
I love it.
You were right, Mez.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
All right, back to the phones. We started with Celtics and the offseason and this latest rumor that they're looking to potentially trade up into the top of the first round. Mo Bamba being a target, according to Sean Devaney of the Sporting News. We did some Patriots, and is there a culture problem on the team? Cassius Marsh, former linebacker, the latest to pile on. I say there's not. There's a quarterback coach issue, a personality issue going on there. There's nothing wrong with the culture, and it's not a problem among the rank and file. I don't think so, especially when bums like Marsh are the ones doing the talking. And then Maz on baseball. And the Red Sox, your thoughts on all of the above. Let's grab Roy and Lawrence on the Celts. Go ahead, Roy.
Hey, guys. It is driving me absolutely insane that these people that look at the Bridgies and didn't want to trade the ball boy, but now that we have an actual championship contender, they want to trade Brown for the number 6 pick. It's ridiculous, all right? There's only one trade to be made this summer. You package Rozier, your pick this year, and the Sacramento pick, and you try to move up in the draft that way. If not, if Memphis, Dallas, and Orlando don't want to trade, then you stand pat. But it's ridiculous that they want to do this. I mean, like, this Mamba kid, he could be Anthony Davis. He could be Nerlens Noel. He could be Fab Melo.
Exactly.
You don't know. And you don't trade a known commodity for something like that. You just don't know.
Okay, Sean Devaney, Sporting News, says that the Celtics has expressed interest in Bamba, including interviewing him at the Chicago pre-draft combine 2 weeks ago. The challenge is securing a pick that will be high enough to land him. He could go high as 3 or as low as 6. The Celtics have the number 27 pick, but they have multiple assets in hand that could help them move into the top 5. It's almost certain that the Celtics would not move rookie Jason Tatum. Less certain, though, is what Boston might do with point guard Terry Rozier or swingman Jaylen Brown. And that, to me, is the real takeaway from this whole rumor, that Sean Devaney believes Jaylen Brown would be in play for the Celtics to move up in the draft. He says the Celts were without Irving and Hayward for all but the first 5 minutes of the season. Both players will return, reducing the roles of guys like Rozier and Brown. In order to move into the top 5 of the draft, the Celtics would likely have to give up either Rozier or Brown. But Dallas and Memphis both have point guards in Dennis Smith Jr. and Mike Conley, and would almost certainly prefer Jaylen Brown. So that's what we're weighing here. That's what the team is weighing. I haven't heard many fans call in and say, we got to trade Jaylen Brown. Caller's point, I wonder if the team's considering it.
I'd be surprised if they moved Brown for a draft pick. For an established player, established big man, that I could see.
Tony and Sonnen, give me a Red Sox thought.
I got a Red Sox thought. Tony, I was giving you a standing ovation with your talk about the Red Sox and this team and everything. Now, I'm not up on salaries and everything.
Okay.
But here's what I'd do if I owned the Red Sox. We still have control of Ramirez, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Ramirez, Bogaerts, and JBJ to Baltimore for Machado. And if Baltimore won't trade with you, and if you don't think they will, you go to some team out in the West that will take those guys and get Machado, and that, with the agreement that they trade Machado to you.
Okay, let me just stop you. Does this team need Manny Machado?
No.
Thank you.
No. I mean, the J.D. Martinez emergency, and I say emergence, arrival, has changed everything in terms of what your needs are on the offensive side of the, you know, offensively. Martinez is ridiculous. The guy's hit another one today, and the thing was an absolute missile. He hit 29 home runs after the All-Star break last year. He's already got 18. I mean, do the math. About a week ago, I looked it up, over 163 games, basically a full season. He hit 51 home runs or something stupid like that. I mean, the guy's just off the charts right now.
Jimmy in New Hampshire on the Celts. Hi, Jimmy.
Yeah, hey, does anybody over there want to buy a slightly worn Scary Terry t-shirt? How can I wear it? The guy's talking about, hey, I made a championship play, like you guys said at the end of that Philly game when he knocks the ball up and Bede's leg, and then he comes out and shows 0-10 from the 3 in game 7. I'm in physical pain. Like, I still think I'm in pain. I told you guys, I had 2,000 on the Celtics at 20-1 odds. I should be in Vegas right now cashing a $42,000 ticket. Instead, I'm at work.
So, to me, the worst one with Terry Rozier was the T-shirt comment after Game 7, where, again, he goes 0-10 from behind the line, and he's asked about what he learned, you know, in this season. What did he gain in this season? And the first thing he said is, other than the T-shirts, which is just, where's this guy's priorities? So, that being said, $3 million is an insurance policy for Kyrie Irving is good value. And I can see why the team would want to keep him, and I'd want to keep him. But here's the issue, and again, here's what we asked to begin the show. What could derail the Celtics and, you know, this path that they appear to be on? And my answer is ego and money, which is sort of hand in hand. And this is what derails it, right? Terry Rozier at $3 million as an insurance policy for Kyrie Irving is great value. But what if Kyrie Irving is healthy and getting all these minutes and Terry Rozier is not, and Terry Rozier now fancies himself as a starting point guard in the league, someone who wants to make a lot of money and sell a lot of T-shirts and all this stuff. He thinks he's something special, and now he's getting, you know, 8 minutes a night or whatever. How's that going to go over with him, and how are they going to manage all that? That's the issue.
Well, sure, yes. And to me, it's about guys overvaluing themselves and understanding that the sum is greater than the parts. So you can be a $20 million player somewhere if you want to be. Go ahead. But your team's going to suck. So would you rather do that, or would you rather make... I'm just throwing a number
out there. He makes three here.
Right. But I'm saying, you know, beyond that. Would you rather do that, or would you rather make, I don't know, call it 12? Okay, just to throw a number out.
You'd rather make 12 and back up, or make 20 and start?
Rozier would rather make 20 and start.
Wouldn't everybody?
Yeah.
Okay, but on what team?
So?
I don't think it matters. To a guy like that, there's an IT thing growing with this player.
But it's not just that. I think it's unreasonable to expect of anyone. I mean, and if you believe in yourself, you believe you make that sucky team good. That when I go there, I view myself as this kind of player, that we won't suck.
Yeah, except that in that league, it doesn't work that way.
I mean, who accepts backup roles over starting roles? It's very few guys.
Okay.
And the money that goes along with it.
But I'm just telling you that Kevin Garnett's message to Anthony Davis was, I regret not asking out of Minnesota sooner.
Yeah, but he wasn't giving up.
Okay, now Garnett was going to get his money either way.
And the role was going to be the same.
But the point is that the winning meant something. That as great as Garnett was in the prime of his career.
But that doesn't mean he would have gone to the Lakers and agreed to back up Paul Gasol. Like, he still had to be the man. Asking Rozier or anyone like that to take, you know, half the money and back up versus going somewhere and starting and making 2X or whatever, it's an impossible ask. He's gone.
But then you're not going to win. So that's all. I'm just saying, see, and I look at it and say, and I don't know, maybe I'm the idiot. Like, I look at it and say, $12 million isn't enough to live on? Like, that's not enough?
I just think it's unrealistic. Here's Bryce and Swampscott on the Red Sox. Hi, Bryce.
Yeah, quick question for Maz. He was just talking about, who cares if the Red Sox win 112 games, like you mentioned the Mariners there, if they get bounced in the first round of the playoffs like they always do, you know?
Agreed. This is what I'm telling you. They're not a 112-win team. In fact, now, I did the math again, they're on a 113-win pace. They're a good team this year. Are they 113 wins good, or does the league just blow?
But, Bryce, there's one. I mean, so fine. We all sort of sitting around now waiting for the games, the real games to begin, and what are the Red Sox really as a team? We'll find out in those playoff series. That's in 3 or 4 months. What do you do? Like, is there anything compelling to watch in the meantime?
No, and this is the problem now. Again, I don't know any other way to say it than to say baseball has a competition problem. There aren't enough good games. There aren't enough good teams to offer you some real fight. Toronto came in here. At any point, did you think the Red Sox would lose 2 out of 3? No. Never even crossed your mind. The only question you had is, can they sweep? And I'm not even sure you had that question. Like, I was just looking at the Toronto lineup. Okay, one of the reasons you would go to a ball game in your home stadium is to see who the other team brings in. Okay, who are these? This is Toronto's lineup today. See if you can tell me as many as four or five guys in this lineup. T. Hernandez, right field. Who the hell is that? Who's this T. Hernandez guy?
Tiandro?
Okay, like, I saw his name on the scoreboard the other day, too. Who is he?
I don't know who he is.
Okay, Kevin Pillar.
It's just a cool first name.
Kevin Pillar bats second. I know who he is. He's a good outfielder. There's a lot of highlights on the MLB Network. I can't even pronounce his first name. Yonjervis Solarte hits third. I think I remember him. I think he was with the Yankees at one point.
Cubs?
Maybe. You might be getting him confused with Soler.
Yes, I am.
Okay, Solarte, I think, was with the Yankees at one point, but he's just a journeyman bench guy. Justin Smoke, I know. Okay, Smoke was a prospect who then never really panned out and now is hitting home runs. I wonder how that happened. Kendrys Morales is a guy who is as old as dirt.
I was going to say, is he 80 years
old?
Yes,
as old as dirt, fat, DH, out of shape. Perfect for the American League at this stage. Devin Travis, second base, has been a prospect for about 10 years now. Curtis Granderson, again, old as dirt, 0 for 4, 3 strikeouts today. Something named Luke Maley, I think, who beat the Red Sox with a home run up there in Toronto. And some guy batting ninth, G. Urshela, whoever the F that is. G. Urshela. And the pitching staff today, S. Gaviglio, S. O. R. Tapera. Who are these guys? Who the hell are those? Who is that? Would you pay to see any of those guys? Any of them?
No.
And do they have any chance of beating a team with a $230 million payroll?
You'd have to pay me to watch those guys.
Oh my gosh, is that brutal?
And I still probably wouldn't take the money.
Seriously, Maley, Urshela, Gaviglio, O, and Tapera. If I'm going to pay to see those guys, I'm doing it in Fort Myers. I'm not doing it at Fenway Park at $80 a pop or $150 bucks a pop or whatever
you're
paying.
You think that's never been worse?
Oh, it's brutal right now. The competition in baseball is brutal. I mean, it is brutal.
What else do you need to know other than the Tampa Rays starting bullpens every other day?
Oh, my God. It is so bad. The quality of the competition in baseball right now is so, so bad. It is at an all-time low. It is so bad right now, it's unwatchable.
I do want to get to this. Are the Red Sox ignoring the noise like Alex Cora seems to imply? We'll do that right after Murray's update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Every afternoon, Felger and Mass bring you the science of sports.
Stupid me.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We don't let the circumstances around the team dictate who we are. It hasn't happened. I read, I listen, I know what's going on. One thing I like them to be is genuine. There's nothing wrong with that. Throughout the years that I remember, there's been a lot of genuine players in this organization. I still remember October 18th, 2007, when Manny said that if we lose tomorrow, it's not the end of the world. It was a big deal, but he meant it. It was the truth. There's nothing wrong with being honest. That's something we talk about it, you know, be genuine, responsible, and honest, or transparent. So I'm good with it.
That was Alex Cora yesterday. And what this was in response to a lot of David Price questioning, because David Price had a really, really weird moment with the media after the Memorial Day game where he said, I'm soft. I'm the softest guy on the team. If I was hurt, I would have come out. Just really playing the martyr, this passive-aggressive martyr, that thing. So we did that yesterday. Everyone's talked about that. You probably know what I'm talking about. So Cora was asked about it yesterday before the game. And that was one of his answers. And, it sort of spun into this thing about Cora saying, for all intents and purposes, we ignore the noise, which is one of the things we said the team really had to do this year, right? You know, quit reading and listening and your Twitter mentions, just don't worry about what Eckersley says. Don't worry about, Murray's David Price in person. Just show up and play. Ignore the noise. And everyone knew the team had to do that. And Cora yesterday sort of took a victory lap claiming that his team does that. You know, he said at a different point that's one of the things I like about our team. Excuse me. Nothing that happens around us is going to dictate what we do on a daily basis. We've been very consistent so far. I know it's only our third of the season, and we're very proud of how we've handled stuff and gone about our business. And then he goes into that thing. We don't let circumstances around the team dictate who we are, and it hasn't happened. Do they deserve credit for ignoring the noise this year?
Well, Price doesn't.
So start there. I mean, that he goes on and on about how they're ignoring the noise when, you know, your second, your number two pitcher is obsessed, still obsessed, can't help himself. So outside of David Price, other than that, have they ignored the noise?
I mean, they cut out a lot of the nonsense. They're no longer doing that fruity outfield dance, which meant they were listening to it.
They certainly aren't doing that. But my point is, there hasn't been any noise.
Well, so I was just going to get to that.
They started 17-2, and they're on pace for 114 wins. And other than David Price acting bitchy, there really hasn't been anything. I mean, the eighth inning problems, but that's just sort of... So
no, that's baseball, though. Like, that's a baseball issue.
Did Carson Smith ignore the noise when he said it was part of his standard warm-up routine to slam his glove and throw his shoulder out? That's who that was, right?
Carson Smith.
I mean, I don't know. Like, there hasn't been any noise. It just feels like that's a little bit of a victory lap when nothing's happened. You've faced no adversity. How do you know?
Man, with everything with the Celtics and Bruins, they've kind of been out of sight, out of mind.
The only guy that's faced adversity is Price, and he feels like the same guy to me. Otherwise, what adversity have you faced?
No, they haven't faced a lot. No, they have. Again, you know, they're on 113-14 win pace, whatever the hell it is.
I mean, don't let circumstances around the team dictate who we are, and it hasn't happened. Like, what circumstance around the team would dictate who they are?
See, and Price has not ignored the noise. This is the problem. I mean, that essentially is what the question to Cora was last night. When you hear Price say what he says, and Cora says, oh, I laughed about it. So I don't know whether, you know, I would love to know what Cora really believes about Price, because he's not going to say it publicly. Like, does Cora see it and go, this guy's unbelievable, man. He just can't keep his mouth shut. But he just got him. He's a manager now for 2 months. What's he going to do? Like, you know, kick up a storm and get, you know, and create an issue in the clubhouse?
So, I mean, I don't know. David Price has definitely not ignored the noise. Like, that's obvious. But have others? It's sort of hard to tell because, you know, like, maybe is Jackie Bradley, who's had a real rough go of it offensively, is he blotting it out? And Cora would only know that internally. We don't know it externally because Bradley's not saying anything. And so he is. Bradley's doing a good job of not taking the bait or overreacting to what's being said about him. And is that possible? I guess. I don't know. Does it really matter when they play teams like the Tampa Bay Rays and the Toronto Blue Jays?
No. See, to me, this is, again, I just think there's a major competition problem now. And look, I give, you know, you can say the Red Sox aren't beating themselves. You know, sometimes they've tried, but the competition's been so bad that they haven't been able to do it. So they're on a ridiculous pace. But I'm looking at the inequity of it. 113 win pace versus what I see on the field. They're good. Are they 113 wins good? No way. And the noise thing, Price is still a problem. And so if I were them, I'd be paying attention to Price, because your chances of beating those good teams, the couple that there are going to largely be contingent on how he pitches.
Seth in Swansea has a thought for you, Maz. Go ahead, Seth.
Hey, guys. First off, you think the games are bad now. I think after Houston, the Red Sox played Detroit, the White Sox, and Baltimore. So I'm sure those games will be really entertaining.
I mean, brutal.
But regarding the control of the players, isn't it an MLB issue in terms of how long they can hold on to these guys in the minors? Toronto's a perfect example. They have Vlad Jr. in the minors. I think he's hitting 460 or something outrageous like that, and they won't call him up in order to have a whole nother year of control over him. I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Acuna in Atlanta was the same thing. I don't know. I think that's got a lot to do with it. It's a big problem.
So that's part of it. But again, I think we're now past the point with Vlad Guerrero Jr. that, you know, they can't bring him up. You know, because we ran through this with Chris Bryant a couple of years ago. But the other thing is, it shouldn't be that brittle. It shouldn't be that brittle that we're looking at Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and saying, well, if they bring him up, that fixes everything. It doesn't. The Blue Jays are a big market. There were years there where they drew 4 million fans, for crying out loud. You know, and this goes back a ways now. But you look at that, and look at that lineup they put on the field today. Again, look at the names. Go through the names. Who the hell are those guys? That game's a layup. The Red Sox could sit half of the guys in their lineup and win that game. It's just there's no good games right now. There aren't. And if there are, it's because both teams stink. The quality of play and the quality of competition in baseball in 2018 stinks.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Mandoor off second. He is the winning run. Bottom of the 10th, tied at 5. Pitch. Line to right field. It is a base hit. Here comes Andujar. Here comes the throw. He scores. Ball game over. Yankees win. The Yankees win. Gleyber Torres gets the game-winning walk-off hit. It's Gleyber Day. A line drive to right, so the kids win it. A double by Andujar. A ribby game-winning walk-off base hit in the 10th inning by Torres. And the Yankees win it in 10-6-5. It's a wonderful day in the Gleyberhood.
So why are we playing that, Mass?
The it factor that some teams have?
Uh-oh.
I hate to break it to you.
So how come when you talk about the Yankees, you don't mention how crappy the competition is?
Because they beat the Astros last night. They played.
I'm just talking about in general. I don't hear it as much when you discuss Yankees versus when you talk Red Sox.
Oh, no. The Yankees, I'm not sure, are a 113-win team either. You know, they're about the same as you. I actually think the Yankees are a little bit better. But the it factor with the Yankees, and I mean, this is not a Stanton thing. I think that's now five games they've won this year in which they trailed going into the ninth. Five times. And, you know, I think they're all walk-offs. They're among the major league leaders they were at the time. I didn't check it today when they had the last one. It just feels like every time you go into Yankee Stadium in the eighth and ninth innings as an opponent, you're blowing the game.
Well, so this is what I will say from afar. I mean, if I was there in New York every day, watching them every day, I wouldn't feel this way, but I can't help how I feel. I feel the Yankees are more interesting than the Red Sox. I just do. I feel they're more interesting, and I don't know what that is, whether that's the whole tension point of Stanton being there. You know, whether Stanton is hitting home runs or what he's done mostly this year, which is strike out and get booed. To Aaron Boone, who I think is a total boob, but somehow has his team 20-something games over 500, much like you. And, you know, I maybe the Yankees aren't better than the Red Sox, Maz, and they're a little closer to the competition. It feels like they played more close games, I mean, as you just sort of alluded to. I don't know what it is exactly, but I think that's just, I feel like there's a little more juice down there than there is here with that team. And I don't know why.
I think a lot of it has to do with last October. And you know, the Yankees went into October unexpectedly. They had a good year last year. They caught people by surprise a little bit. I mean, I thought they'd be in it. I didn't expect them to go to Game 7 of the LCS. But they made a run. And they're getting better. This is one of the things that should scare you if you are a Red Sox fan. Okay, so look, the quality of play in the game sucks. The Yankees are 4-2 against the Astros. They took 3 out of 4 in Houston. They've now split this series going into the finale, and they came back in the ninth inning last night to do it. So there's an intangible with that team that is hard to quantify. Okay? So I know people are getting pissed off because I'm talking about the Yankees, but too bad. The reality is the reality. There was something about that
team. You think they have an it factor that this Red Sox team still does not?
I'm not sure if the Red Sox do or don't. I'm starting to believe in J.D. Martinez. What I can tell you is that the Yankees do. Okay, the Yankees do. They haven't. And after last night's game, you know, Michael Kay obviously does the play-by-play for the YES Network. Michael Kay was on the Worldwide Leader with Scott Van Pelt, and they had an exchange that I thought was interesting.
I can't remember a time in recent years where there's been this much optimism about what could be for the Yankees in the Bronx. You sense the same thing?
It's been a long time, and it's not just like it was in 2009. They went deep into the free agent market, as you remember, Scott. Before that season, they were expected to win the World Series. Last year, it kind of happened early for the Yankees. They weren't expected to do anything in 2017. In 2018, they're expected. But they've got the players for it. They've got young players. And I've said this over and over, and I don't know if you agree with me. I think that the 2018 Yankees, this is probably going to be the worst version of this Yankee team for the next 5 years. That's how much they have coming. That's how much they have in terms of money that they can spend because their payroll has been under the threshold. Everything is set up for a long run for this Yankee team. And the city's excited about it because, you know, teams like it. When fans love it, obviously, when the teams have homegrown players. And a lot of this Yankee team has come out of the farm system, and a fan base just loves that. It reminds them of 96.
Okay, so that should scare the crap out of you if you're a Red Sox fan.
That's Michael Kay, you understand. That's not exactly a...
No, I do.
Objective
but,
voice.
But I think he's
like
right.
Asking Tommy about the Celtics.
But I think he's right. I think he's right. When you look at the Yankees and you say, this is the beginning for the Yankees. You know how they're looking at it with the Yankees team down there? Like we look at it with the Celtics. That's how they look at it. They look at it and say they got all these young guys. They were just in October, and they think they're going to get better in the coming years. Gleyber Torres has an OPS of almost 1,000. He's batting ninth. He just got to the big leagues. Like, so the scary part is the Red Sox have been in the postseason 2 years. They've fallen on their faces both times, and this team feels like they're coming full bore. And I'm not telling you the Yankees are going to win the division. I picked them at the beginning of the year. I think they're better than the Red Sox. I might be wrong. Okay, I allow for that. And the competition in the league sucks. It does. It still blows whether they're playing the Yankees or the Red Sox. But if you're looking at a five-year window here in terms of who's set up for a long run, and I didn't even get to the payroll thing that Cabe brought up, they're at $165 million. You're at $230.
See how excited Maz gets talking about the Yankees? He's not mentioning the competition.
Nope.
No, it's just everything is ahead of the Yankees. When he gets to the Red Sox, it's everyone else blows.
They played Houston last night. The Yankees did.
And they've already played Houston.
But don't they
rough? Cleveland.
I think they played the same schedules, Mouse.
Houston.
They played the same schedules.
They played Houston last night.
They played the exact same schedules.
The Yankees have played better.
And the Red Sox are two games ahead.
I think the Yankees have played better competition than the Red Sox have.
Yeah, the Yankees' schedule has been more front-loaded with better competition.
Has it?
Yeah.
Yes. The Yankees went through that stretch.
Well, you would know it.
Where they played Cleveland, swept them, went to Houston, won 3 out of 4. Red Sox went in there, they won 2 out of 3. Like, they played that, they had that little gauntlet there for about 2 weeks where they played iron and they won. Now, again, the Red Sox, they have a good team. I'm not taking that away from them. I'm just telling you that what Kay said about the Yankees is true. If this is 96 all over again, good luck for the next 5 years.
Okay, there's that, and then here's the Red Sox, I'm sorry, the Celtics rumor. Okay, the Celtics rumor. Sean Devaney covers the Celts and the NBA for the Sporting News. Pretty good, decent reporter. He's gotten stuff in the past. Talks about the Celtics and contending for a championship next season. The one hole, though, in what is a mostly loaded roster for the Celts, is in the middle. And while there have been ample rumors in the past year about Boston chasing the likes of Anthony Davis and Karl-Anthony Towns, the answer could be slightly different. The real answer could be slightly different. Texas center Mo Bamba, who is expected to be one of the top picks in this year's draft. Sources told the Sporting News that Boston has expressed interest in Bamba, including interviewing him at the Chicago pre-draft combine 2 weeks ago. Bamba measured in with a record wingspan of 7'10 in Chicago, reinforcing his status as the most ready-made rim protector in the draft. 7'10. I just need to stop every time I read that.
It's unbelievable.
The guy's
isn't
a human hang glider.
Yeah, he's like, what was the dinosaur? Pterodactyl?
That's insane. All right, reinforcing his status as the most ready-made rim protector in the draft. Of course, the challenge is securing a draft pick that will be high enough to land Bamba. He could go high as number 3 to the Hawks. And there's also been talk that the Magic, picking 6th, are high on Bamba and won't let him drop past their slot. The Celtics have the 27th pick in the first round, but they have multiple assets on hand that could help them move into the top 5 of the draft, where the Grizzlies at number 4 and the Mavericks at number 5 have made it clear they're willing to make a deal. It's almost certain the Celtics would not move rookie forward Jason Tatum. Less certain is what Boston might do with point guard Terry Rozier or swingman Jaylen Brown. He says the Celtics were without Irving and Hayward for much of the year. Both of those players return next year, which will reduce the roles of players like Rozier and Brown. Danny Ainge has been aggressive in his attempts to build the Celtics into a championship-caliber team, so even as Rozier and Brown have become fan favorites, a deal involving either or both is not out of the question. In order to move into the top 5, the Celtics would likely have to give up either Rozier or Brown. But Dallas, with Dennis Smith Jr., and Memphis, with Mike Connolly, already have point guards and would almost certainly prefer Jaylen Brown over Terry Rozier. So your thoughts on that?
Okay, so I'd be surprised if the Celtics would move Jaylen Brown for a draft pick. If it's an established player, particularly a big man, I think he's in play. Okay, and look, I think we've all felt that one of those two would be in play in the right deal, Anthony Davis, Karl-Anthony Towns, etc. But you were talking about an elite player in that league in order to give up one of those guys. Okay, now, do they want to move up in the draft? I think they do. I think that it is their best plan in terms of improving.
And we have other rumblings that say they're not after Bamba, that's a false flag. That's just to throw people off the scent. The real target is... Help me again?
Luka Doncic.
Luka Doncic, the Euro. Yeah,
and I'm not even sure it's him. I'm just...
Are we hearing more rumblings now?
No.
Do we have competing rumblings?
No. What I'm saying is that whatever names you hear, the Celtics want someone else. This is where Ainge is really smart.
Not with Jimmy. Jimmy's had the last two picks.
I guess you have, haven't you?
Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum.
You had Tatum, didn't you?
He gets the straight. He gets the straight dope back there. So
you think it's Doncic?
Right now, I do.
Okay, and that's subject to change. The whole thing of trading back into the draft. Now, it makes sense financially, as we talked a lot yesterday. They're facing some real luxury tax implications. The more guys they get on rookie deals, the better. So that fits financially. But if they traded Jaylen Brown just to get another pick, when you hit on that pick, oh, I would hate it. I would hate it, hate it, hate it. And even Terry Rozier, who feels to me like he has a potential to be a pain in the ass, at $3 million against your cap is really good value for Kyrie Irving insurance, because I'm among those who is not 100% sure Irving's going to be healthy and a durable ball player. So I think having Rozier at $3 million when he can play starting point guard minutes is really valuable for you. I'm not trading Rozier unless I get super high in the draft, unless I get top 5 or 6. I'm not trading Rozier for the 15th pick. I'm not trading for the 12th or the 10th. He's got to be 6 or higher.
I mean, I think he was drafted about 15, and he's clearly panned out.
Exactly.
So you got to, you know.
He might be the second best player in that draft. Didn't we do this before? Like the second, he might be, if you redrafted that draft, he'd be like the third pick or something.
I think that's right. He'd be in the top 5. Yeah, he'd be in the top 5 for sure.
So I'm not trading him unless I'm getting into the top 5.
See, I don't think they are either. I think that, although I'll tell you what, like if it were 6, I think they would do it. Because I think this draft is about 6 or 7 players, but the 7th player is a guard.
I just can't believe that Terry Rozier would get you the 6th pick. Terry Rozier next year's Sacramento even would get you the 6th pick. It just doesn't feel like enough. But anyway, is that what the Celtics have in mind? Your reaction to that and Maz's baseball rantings? Right after Murray's update, 90 seconds, no commercials.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati.